Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Point of Insanity Game Studios, Eclectic Media Projects, Geekery in General. I am Al, and joining me today, we have a treat for you because not only do we have my wacky sidekick, Chad. How's it going, Chad?
I'm wacky.
But we also have my wacky sidekick's wacky sidekick. How you doing today, Scott?
I don't know if I should be offended by being designated as the sidekick.
The sidekick to the sidekick.
Wacky part, but the sidekick is kind of bothering me.
Yeah, I think I'm the sidekick. I think I'm everybody's sidekick.
Okay, we'll start that over then. So today we're joined by my wacky sidekick, Scott, and my wacky sidekick's wacky sidekick, Chad.
I don't think
somehow
that
I don't feel better about that.
I was going to say, somehow it's not any better for Scott.
No, I admit I stole that from, there's a YouTube channel that does the honest trailers. And I think they were talking about Thor 2, The Dark World. And it's like, you know, starring the wacky sidekick and the wacky sidekick's wacky sidekick. So no offense was intended, but this is actually Scott's first time on Geekery in General. As I know, we have podcasted before in the past. We did an episode of Musically Challenged together. We've done another one we do occasionally called Off the Top of Our Heads. And you've also helped me with a little bit of narration for Creepypasta Theater. So, you know, Scott and I have worked together, but why don't you tell a little bit about yourself for people who listen to Geekery in General, but maybe don't listen to the other podcasts?
I suppose. So, I'm Scott. I've been a friend of Chad's for a number of years.
Too many.
Mainly through gaming. And I also am a high school English, Spanish, English as a learned language, and speech teacher who advises the chess club, traditional gaming club, and the esports teams in Central Wisconsin.
So you fit in just perfectly in a podcast about geeks and geek culture.
Pretty much I embody it.
Also, one thing I would like to mention before I begin, most likely this will be the last episode of Geekery in General that will be posted on Podbean. As I've mentioned before, we are moving to a new platform, Anchor.fm. So for future episodes, you're going to want to go to Anchor.fm and look up Eclectic Media Podcasts, and you'll be able to find Geekery in General there, Creepypasta Theater. Want to hear something interesting, one that Scott and Chad do, Musically Challenged, Off the Top of Our Heads, and any other thing we decide to throw up there. So go ahead, make sure you go ahead and check that out. You should be able to find us on Apple Podcasts. I know I can find Eclectic Media Podcasts there. And I think you also can find it on Spotify and Stitcher.
Spotify, Pocket Casts. We are not on Stitcher, not yet. But Pocket Cast, Spotify, Apple, there's one other one too, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. If I remember at some point, I'll break in and it'll make no sense in the middle of what we're talking about, but I'll remember.
Well, that's okay because, you know, today's topic is gaming in the age of COVID. And, you know, let's just face it, last year didn't really make much sense anyway. So to say the world went through a lot of changes last year would certainly be an understatement. Sadly, our beloved hobby of tabletop role-playing games was not immune to the dumpster fire that was 2020. But if there is one thing that we gamers are good at, it is adapting. And all through the year, the dice continue to roll. Now, while we can't say when things will truly be back to normal, many health experts believe that because of the vaccination and the fact that, well, we've known about COVID for a little over a year now, so doctors are finally starting to get a better idea of how to effectively treat it, or at least help people get through the symptoms, it is possible there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Still, that day, when things do finally return to normal, is probably still a ways off yet. So for this episode, we're going to be talking about some of the ways we continue to game through 2020 with social distancing and all the other stuff that was happening. So just to go back to about a year or so ago today, my son decided he wanted to try to learn how to run a D&D campaign because he had hooked up with some gamers at his school, and we decided to run the classic basic adventure Keep on the Borderlands using 5th edition rules at our friendly local gaming store. So I know we started approximately this time. It may have been early February, but you know, and he was excited about doing it. We managed to run a few sessions, but then, you know, then the social distancing started, and in the game store where we, you know, where we gamed, at first they decided to have it where they would only open certain tables, but then they had to close it because, again, when things were starting to get more serious, the owner of the game store decided that he didn't want to risk having people in there where they might potentially be exposed to COVID. So from that point on, we more or less had to switch our gaming habits to gaming online. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about how 2020 COVID, how has that impacted your gaming?
Well, I'll go ahead and jump on. My regular gaming, it actually hasn't impacted it too much. Given my schedule, I'm pretty much only in one regular game a month. And the people in the game are in four different cities across two states. So actually five different cities across two states. So we were actually already doing it through Roll20 as an online platform. What really impacted me with it was my ability to run games for my high school gaming club. We would usually meet for an hour, hour and a half after school every Thursday. And we did board games. I mean, I actually just picked up Warhammer 40K Munchkin, which I think brings my Munchkin versions total to seven different versions of Munchkin, including Munchkin Shakespeare and Munchkin X-Men with the Deadpool expansion pack. So we played a lot of board games. We had a couple of people that were running ongoing D&D 5th Ed campaigns, including a couple of homebrew versions. We had the occasional Teenagers from Outer Space game, the old mid-80s R. Telsorian game that I think I might have one of the few copies still in existence because I've never found it anywhere else.
Now, that doesn't have anything to do with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, does it? Because I know that there were some guest characters in the cartoon. I don't know. I don't think they appeared in the Eastman Laird comics, but I know in the cartoon that we, you know from growing up, they did actually appear. Well, actually, Chad and I would know from growing up. I think that this was a little bit after Scott was. This probably was past the time when you were probably watching cartoons.
You do realize I still watch cartoons.
Well, back then, I mean.
I remember the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Yeah, so. I didn't. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because I mean, I know that. Vastly different from the original comic series, but you know, of course, when you're making something for kids, you really have to make those changes. But I remember they had I think it was like three characters that were teenagers from outer space that appeared every now and then. So I was just curious if they were the same or no.
Nope, completely different game. This one is based around your characters are either human, near human, not very near human, or real weirdos, but you are students at a high school on Earth that is kind of like an alien boarding school disguised as a regular public high school on Earth, and you try not to get revealed as alien because you might get killed and dissected in a science lab somewhere in a government building.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. But like It was very much an 80s tongue-in-cheek game. I mean, like, one of the primary weapons was a popcorn grenade. And another one was the boy-girl gun. Basically, you zap somebody with it and it changed their gender.
Okay. Hopefully it's reversible.
Well, you just shoot them again. But yeah, so in the only real crimp in my personal gaming was that I no longer drove up to Chad's to game there in the same room with him, which I think might have been more of a hassle for him because I was kind of helping him with looking up stuff for the characters and helping him organize stuff while he was GMing in the game we were in at the time all this hit.
So what about you, Chad? In the age BC before COVID, what was it like gaming for you?
Pretty much what Scott was saying. I've pretty much been in one group now for several years. But I think, before COVID, it was kind of nice because if you really wanted to, you could get together with people, roll dice. But like Scott said, the game we're in, it's six people across two states and five cities. So it hasn't really affected me in that way. I mean, other than it's just like you can't, Scott can't come up here. I can't go to Scott's house. Conventions are messed up. Everything's messed up. So, I think it's a matter of figuring out ways around it.
That's one thing where the internet was actually extremely helpful because, nowadays there's so many programs that you can use to communicate online. Like, we've got Skype. I know there's people that like using Discord, but I've never really used it very often. And then there's a platform that we're using for the game we're playing right now, and that is Roll20. So I know we're certainly not the, only gamers to make that change in their habits. I know there's lots of other people that have. I mean, I think probably Roll20 is the more common choice. I mean, for a while we did try Skype because we were trying to do like a Marvel Superheroes campaign that unfortunately only lasted a few sessions. So what did you guys think about Skype and gaming through Skype?
I was not a fan of that, but Roll20 was a platform that we had talked about as a group for a while. And then finally, I just kind of bit down on the whole concept and went in and tried to figure it out. We ran a campaign of Call of Cthulhu through it, which worked out pretty well. However, Scott is now running a Humblewood campaign, and I think he's figured out some of the stuff that I hadn't figured out yet for getting maps and such on the screen. So, Roll20 is nice in the way that you have the ability to put maps on the screen. You could, if you want to, you can even put up like a battle grid and draw it out. There are ways, and I don't know if you figured this out yet, Scott, or not. I haven't, but there's a way to put like chits on the battle map so you can move them around. So it's pretty interesting. And later when we're talking about this a little more, I've recently been introduced to D&D Beyond, which with a little plugin in Chrome, you can actually mesh with your Roll20 and it makes things so much smoother. So I'll talk about that a little bit later when we get to that point. But yeah, so I think gamers out there have started putting things together because they can't get together in game, so they're going to find ways to get together in game.
And from my perspective, kind of building off what Chad was saying, the big advantage Roll20 has over some of the other communication platforms is that Skype was originally built as video conferencing, kind of like Google Meetings, kind of like WebEx. We've used WebEx as well for like a family game night we did with Cards Against Humanity was a year and a half ago, I think. But we ended up having to double up on the platforms because we used WebEx to be able to talk to everybody. And then there was a separate platform that Cards Against Humanity was connected with that you could play the cards on the platform, but it didn't have audio capabilities. And what set Roll20 apart from our perspective was that it was purpose-built for gaming. So not only did it have the audio and video components to it, but it had, like, putting up the maps, like Chad was saying. It has the token function where you can move the tokens around like you would move miniatures on a battle map in a traditional tabletop setting. And one of the really nifty things that I liked about Roll20, which I haven't used as a GM, but Chad used extensively in our Call of Cthulhu campaign, was the sidebar where you could actually have one-on-one GM to player conversations without the other people in the group hearing it. It kind of mimicked the old, okay, I need to talk to this character because something's happening that nobody else knows about. So let's take a 5-minute bathroom break and you and I will go over here and talk. And in something like Skype or WebEx or Google Meet, to the best of my knowledge, I mean, I didn't really experiment with it too much, but I've not seen that level of customization and in-session personalization that Roll20 had.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the reason I use the sidebar so much and you don't is you're running D&D and I was running Call of Cthulhu. Call of Cthulhu definitely tends itself to that one-on-one, especially when you have a group of guys that like to break up a lot and go do different things, which isn't a problem. But then, especially when they're finding things that are important to the storyline, then you need to talk to them separately. I mean, you can always say to a group, well, we're going to talk about this, and you just have to pretend like you didn't hear it. And as hard as they try, they still know that information, you know, and it may influence the way they do the stuff over here, you know. So, and I mean, we've got a good group of players, and I don't think anybody would do it on purpose, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, and I do like Roll20. I like how, again, you can put up the map or the grid and you can, you know, put stuff on it. My problem is I do notice sometimes there's a connection issue. When I was trying to playtest in a new adventure for Strange Things Afoot a couple months ago, I had some people from an online group and, we went on Roll20, but for some reason, I don't know if it was the person's computer or their internet connection, but there was a lot of issues with that. So we had to kind of improvise where we did the audio and the video through Facebook Messenger. And then, you know, but we still kept Roll20 open so I could draw the map and stuff. So yes, gamers will always find a way.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things. One person's slow internet can wreak havoc on everybody because they're either behind or they're not understanding what's going on, and that can cut into time. But you know, these are the things, like you said, as gamers, we find our way around them.
Another nice thing about having the Facebook Messenger available as well is that way, if I needed to send private messages, we could, you know, that's how we could do it that way.
Right. And I mean, it's things like you had mentioned Discord. Now, Scott and I, we just recently did a live feed for a convention. And I know we're getting to that point where we're going to talk about conventions and stuff. So I'm just going to break the ice here. And we did it on Discord. Now, I had never used Discord before that. I know Scott hadn't used Discord before that. And I thought it worked pretty well for what we were doing. I don't know if I would want to use Discord for a gaming session, but I think it worked pretty well. And when I did that, we did the live stream. Then right after our live stream, I went and I played a game on Discord, an RPG. but it was more a theater of the mind RPG than a, you know, bits and pieces and that kind of stuff. So we rolled dice. There's a dice roller in Discord. So we rolled dice right online. So it came up in the discussion box. The problem with running a game, I think, in Discord is you've got to have at least two windows going, because the dice roller takes up its own window. If you click on the dice roller, everybody disappears, and vice versa. You click on people and everything disappears. So they do actually have a macro in there where you touch a button and it splits you into two screens. But then the game we were playing was also being hosted, to keep track of what was going on, was being hosted on Google Drive. So it was a lot of windows, a lot of window management. And for me, it wasn't too bad because I've got my laptop and then I've got a large extra monitor. So I put two of them on the big extra monitor and then I just had the dice roller on the computer. But I can see that if you're just working off of a single monitor, I can see where there would be issues trying to do something like that, you know. And then in contrast to that, I also played a game that weekend that was hosted on Roll20, and one that was hosted on Zoom, which I would have never thought to use Zoom for a game, but the game we played was called King Kong versus Cthulhu versus Godzilla. So it was a lot of fun. And he also had a slideshow going. So when something would happen, you would he'd click a button and it would pop up in Zoom and it would show you what was going on, which was really cool, especially for the final battle when you had King Kong, Cthulhu, and Godzilla, and two bastards who got lost along the way in this big battle. So it was kind of neat because he was able to take pictures of our characters and drop them in on this combat. And I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know Zoom well enough, but I think with some time working with Zoom, I think Zoom is also another place where you could pull off running a game.
So this was at EverCon just this last weekend where it was virtual, correct?
Yes.
Because that's another one of the unfortunate side effects with COVID when it started to spread is everything was canceled. I mean, I think it was April, I was supposed to go vend at the Midwest Gaming Classic down in Milwaukee. But unfortunately, that had to be canceled because of the COVID situation. And unfortunately, it has hurt a lot of people who depend on conventions for their livelihood. Because I have one friend on Facebook who, you know, sells a lot of crafts type stuff at, you know, various conventions. So for her, it was extremely tough because, again, can't do a convention, it's harder for her to make money. So what did you guys think of your first virtual convention? Because unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to sign up for EverCon, so I'm not sure how that worked. I haven't been to a virtual convention yet. I mean, I can certainly see there's certain advantages to it. You know, you're not paying $3 for a bag of chips, $5 for a can of soda, and $8 for a hot dog. And then, it also eliminates the other major expense with conventions, and that is, you know, of course, going, you know, the traveling. And if you're going out of town where it's like too far for you to drive home, you know, getting a hotel and taking care of all that stuff. So what did you guys think of EverCon as a virtual convention?
Well, Scott, I know you did less with it than me. So you go ahead first and give your rundown on what you thought.
I did Jack Squat. My only virtual con experience was the live stream. So, and for me, I understand that a virtual con is better than no con at all. And some of the general conventions that we would go to or look at over the last 14 months that have had to be canceled because of the pandemic a lot of them would realize the impact on the vendors and try to mitigate that a little by posting links to those vendors who had websites, or like some of the crafty people to their Etsy page, or connect through Pinterest, things like that. The problem I run into, and I know this no longer applies to either of you two, is that I still have small children at home. Specifically, I have an almost 4-year-old and an elementary school child at home. And when I'm at a convention, I'm physically out of the house, it's fine. I FaceTime with them a couple of times each day that I'm gone, but then I'm separate from them. For virtual conventions, when I'm at home, they don't, I know the older one understands, but I don't think either one of them actually cares that I'm technically still at the convention, because they will come in. I can go into a separate room in the house and close the door. They don't care. If I lock the door, they bang on the door. Daddy, daddy, why is the door locked? I want to come in and see you. And so for me, rather than get frustrated with the situation and have other gamers get frustrated with me because I'm constantly being interrupted and the game's constantly being interrupted, I just don't do them. I mean, as it is now, we are specifically recording this later in the evening than probably either of you needed to, because I need to, because I needed to wait until my younger daughter was in bed. So virtual cons, at least at this point in my life, don't work for me because of other factors in my life that interfere with it.
I completely get that. I remember when my kids were younger. Now neither of them live at home, so they don't bother me at all. But all right. So
virtual, Chad's an empty nester, so
and if my girls are listening, I'm sorry, but I'm damn happy to be an empty nester.
So can Scott and I live vicariously through you and know what it's like to not have to worry about the kids running around all the time?
You know, I have different worries. I don't have to worry about them running around the house, but they're out there in the big bad world. So trust me, I have my own set of worries. But anyway, virtual cons. Virtual con. Okay, so this was the first virtual con I did. I had signed up for Gamehole Con back in November, but I had things come up the weekend of, and I was unable to get online and do anything with it. So this is my first experience. Now, I thought everything worked fine for the stuff I did. Like I said, we did the live stream. I played a game called Thousand-Year-Old Vampire that same night, which was on Discord, which I didn't have any problems with. But I saw a lot of things, a lot of people talking on Discord about slowdowns and not being able to do certain things and not be able to get into rooms and all this different stuff. And thankfully, the people that are now running the con are very well versed in that kind of technology. So they were able to resolve, at least everything I saw was resolved within a few minutes. But there was a big bog down with the video game players, and there was a big bog down with vendors, in my opinion. Now, they had individual rooms where you could go and talk to vendors. But from what I was seeing, it's like you had to know what you wanted and then whether or not they had it. And then there was some sort of a payment method. And so this may be the very first con I've ever gone to where I didn't buy anything.
And I bet your wife is grateful for that.
Well, you know, you saw my wall of pops. Anyway, so, you know, they had fixes for everything. I played the one game on Discord. The group that I played with, we didn't have any issues at all, other than, like I said, the multiple screens. And then I played a game on Roll20, and this is what I was talking about before. So the guy that was running it is a big D&D guy. And he had us create our characters in D&D Beyond. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with what that is. It's a platform where you can create characters for your D&D games. There is a paid side of it, which I haven't done. But the free side, you can create and keep up to 6 characters on it, I believe, at any one time. And then there's a macro in Google Chrome that if you put it on your computer, and it's really small, but what it does is allows you to take your Roll 20 on one side of your screen, your character sheet on the other side of the screen, and then let's say you want to attack somebody. So you pick the weapon that you're attacking with, you click on it, and it rolls in Roll 20. So it rolls your roll. It tells you if it's a critical or if it's a failure. So that's kind of nice. And it'll roll your 2-hit die and your damage all at once. Just, it's all right there. You know, I think that's something that's pretty cool. That's something I was going to talk to Scott about. Not necessarily for his Humblewood, because we've got that set up the way and it's working just fine. But going forward, it might be something that's kind of neat because it gives you a lot of variety to your character types. So, like, I made a tiefling for the game, but then there's like 10 different subclasses of tieflings now from all the printed stuff. So you can choose your type of tiefling. That was a really cool thing that I learned at this convention. And then, like I said, the last game I played was a Call of Cthulhu game, and it was done on Zoom. So I've got to look at several different platforms. I'm still not a fan of Discord, to be completely honest with you. It reminds me of like an old
chat room or something like that.
Yeah, like an old chat room. Yeah, exactly. And though there's video and that kind of stuff, once you're in a room, it just doesn't, I don't like the way it works. Because like to do our live stream, we had to go into a room that was called, you know, podcast talk. And then once you're in there, then you have to go in the podcast video, and then they link together so you can talk and see each other. So, you know, it is what it is. As far as my take on it, I didn't have any problems with anything I did in the convention. But like I said, I did see stuff going around in Discord where people were having issues with certain things working.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was the first year that EverCon had been virtual, because last year, you know, because it's in January. So last year they were still able to do it in person live. So it was interesting. But yeah, there you go. I babbled long enough, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you on Discord there, Chad. My understanding of the platform is that it was originally designed more as a broadcast platform as opposed to an interactive platform. I know it's the primary platform for most esports. There's actually a group of people affiliated with esports called Shoutcasters. They're kind of like the color commentators that you get with professional sports.
Okay.
But most of the time I've known people to be using Discord is you might have 500 people signed up in it, but only one or two people are actually talking, and everybody else is just watching and listening.
So kind of like a Twitch setup almost?
Pretty much, yeah. It's very similar to Twitch in that regard.
Okay.
So it has more functionality because Twitch was limited, but it didn't develop, or at least it didn't have the software at the time to develop the sophistication of some of the other platforms that have kind of overtaken it as an interactive medium.
Eventually, this stuff has got to end. COVID is going to, of course, probably never, ever go away. But eventually, we're going to learn to keep it under control. And hopefully enough people get vaccinated where those rates will go down. And we'll be able to have conventions and large public gatherings again. Though now that you've tasted the world of online gaming, you know, you've gotten your feet wet in Roll20 and Discord and stuff like that, do you think that you're going to maybe do more online gaming through platforms like that once things start to return to normal?
No, because I don't have the time to. But if I had the time to, yeah, I probably would if I had the time to. But I just don't see that happening with being in school right now and all that kind of fun stuff. So I don't think I will, but I'm not opposed to the idea if that's the world, if that's the way the world goes. But I recommend it to anybody. So if you're a gamer that's been sitting out there for a year and a half now and you haven't tried online gaming, oh my God, it's better than not gaming. You know,
that is
by so much. Is it as good as being in person and rolling dice and all that? No, maybe not. You know, but it's up to your DM too, because with Scott's game, we roll our dice. We don't roll them in the system. We just roll them on our tabletops. And, you know, we're a group of people that don't lie about the way we roll. So, you know, if your group is honest, you can still roll your dice. You can still do it all. Still have your snacks. Still have your drinks. Now you can make them alcoholic because you don't have to drive home when you're done. So...
Yeah, for me, and as Chad is fond of mentioning, I'm older than dirt, older than the hills.
I'm not fond of mentioning that. I'm just stating a fact.
Yes, so. But you always smile when you do, so. Like right now. So, I might be a little traditional, but... As I said at the beginning, and as Chad just alluded to, virtual gaming is better than no gaming. But given the choice between in-person and virtual, I'm going for in-person. Not just because of the, I think, higher level of social interaction. I mean, yes, when you're using a lot of these platforms, you have video and audio, so you can see your friends. You can see when they grimace at a really bad joke. You can see when they flip you off because you just tagged their character with a critical hit. things like that. But there's another level or layer to it when you're physically there in person. As a GM, in person is a lot more convenient because... You don't have to try to figure out the mechanics of the software while you're dealing with the mechanics of the game. If you want to, like, say you've got something planned and you uploaded all of the maps to whatever platform you're using and you had everything laid out, and then one of the characters goes left when you thought everybody would obviously go right, and you need to improvise and come up with stuff on the fly. It's a lot easier to do that if you've just got a dry erase sheet and you quickly wipe it off and you go, okay, this is what you see, and you write it out quick, as opposed to trying to do that in a computer program that wasn't designed for that kind of ad hoc, spontaneous stuff. Pretty much the only virtual gaming that I'll stay with on a regular basis is our monthly game. And that's just because of geography. The people that we're playing with and that I enjoy playing with are simply physically too far away for everybody to come together on a monthly basis. Over the summer, if I'm not teaching summer school and I'm not too busy with the family and COVID levels down to where things are open again, I'm probably going to go down to our local gaming store and be involved in a couple of games, just because for me, it's the camaraderie, not the mechanics. And I just don't get that from a picture on a computer screen. No offense to you guys, because I largely only see you as pictures on a computer screen, but I miss the times when we would actually be physically together and gaming together, and I could reach over and voodoo your dice because you were doing too well and I needed to jinx you.
Yeah, never touch my dice again.
I don't need to touch your dice. Your dice hate you.
As a matter of fact, yes, your dice are trying to kill you. But I agree with you. I mean, for me, gaming is about the camaraderie. You know, it's a social activity for me, so it isn't the same. Plus, because of my day job, I'm staring at a computer screen for 8 hours a day anyway. Though I do have to say there is one regard in which I actually found the virtual gaming to be very beneficial to me. And again, that was, I mentioned before, when I was doing that playtest session, because what I could do is I could just post to a Facebook group I'm on, hey, I'm looking for some people to help me playtest an adventure, probably take about 4 to 5 hours, anyone interested? And, you know, I managed to get, I think like four people. So it worked, you know. So again, still going to prefer in person, always will. But I think the whole COVID situation did change my mind on Roll20 and other online platforms for gaming. Well, any final thoughts today, gentlemen?
Yes. Full disclosure for those listening and counting the number of times we have mentioned various products by name. None of us are receiving any financial compensation from these companies. We've just actually used them, and it's a lot easier to use their names than to try to beat around the bush.
You're not getting paid for this, Scott?
Chad, we weren't supposed to tell him.
Oh.
But no, of course.
Yeah, Scott's absolutely right. You know, the only thing I can take from all this is gaming in person is better. Virtual gaming is a gap stop until we get back to sitting around a table and gaming the way we want to.
But of course, if the fine folks at Roll20 or any of these other online platforms that we mentioned would like to sponsor the show, Chad, isn't there a way they can do that?
Yeah, there is actually. On Anchor FM, we have a support system set up. All you got to do is, when you listen to any one of our podcasts, you simply scroll down to the bottom of the description and click the little link there, and you can help us, keep making podcasts and making better podcasts.
So as I said before, most likely this is going to be the last episode that I'm going to be posting on Podbean, unless I get motivated and decide to post one more before the end of the month. So as we said at the beginning, go to anchor.fm for the newer episodes. I do plan on keeping the Podbean site up for a few months. So if there's any episodes that you really like, maybe you want to download them so you can save them to your computer and listen to whenever you want, I would certainly encourage that. Now, eventually what I'm probably going to do is I am going to make some of my past episodes available through Anchor FM, more or less just kind of my best of the best, basically the episodes that I personally like the best, because I mean, I've got like 260 some episodes, so I don't know if I'm going to put every single one of them on the new platform, but we'll see.
Put all of them up there that have me in them.
Well, who wants to hear you talk, though? No, just kidding.
Well, it'd be really simple to put all the ones that have me on them.
There you go.
This one.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. And until next time, again, stay safe from the COVID. Keep on gaming, and we'll talk to you later.
You have been listening to a presentation of Eclectic Media Podcasts. Visit our website at www.eclecticmediaproject.com and check out our publishing arm at www.poigamestudio.com. Find us on Twitter, Scott at EMP_Scott, Al at POI Game Studio, and Chad at Chad EMP. You can also find Eclectic Media Project and Point of Insanity Game Studio on Facebook as well. Listen to all of our podcasts on Anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and Spotify. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to bringing you more entertaining and thought-provoking content.